things have been like quite different since I saw you.
It sounds like you feel like you're more in your body. Does it still feel like there's quite a lot there that's under the surface, as it were?
Sometimes I'll cry a bit, but it feels like loads more crying needs to come out.
She needs to work with the emotions, but often part of what helps us do that is step away from them to sort of come back to them. But she's sort of limited in energy, so the more she steps away from them, the more draining that potentially can also be.
Welcome to this week's episode of In Therapy with me, Alex Howard. And for this week's episode, we're going to be catching up with Hannah again. And particularly, we're going to be working with her inner critic. And I think this is a particularly interesting conversation in the context of these episodes. I know there's been a number of comments and sort of feedback on the episodes on YouTube. And although we're a few months ahead in terms of the filming versus the release dates, the participants are starting to see some of the feedback that you guys have been sharing. And that actually becomes part of this week's episode. I'm helping Hannah work with her inner critic, that voice inside of us that's always judging us and criticizing us. It's a very vulnerable thing for someone to put their themselves and their inner process out in the world in this way. And that actually becomes part of our exploration together. So in a sense, you guys are a little bit part of this episode. So I'd love to hear your comments and your feedback in the comment section below. We're going to open with some updates from Hannah from the previous sessions on how she's been doing. And then you'll see this is one of the, it's the first episode we've released that was filmed during lockdown. So did my best to try and film myself. And yeah, here is Hannah.
So this week I made my plan, my daily and weekly plan. I sent it to Alex and he kind of okayed it. Well, he pointed out that the challenge would be trying to stick to it, but not pushing myself to stick to it. And that was definitely the challenge. I think what I learned this week was that it is important to be accommodating and flexible around my routine, depending, you know, when there is other stresses or unexpected things going on. That's like what happened this week. And it meant I wasn't able to do quite a lot, actually, of what I'd intended. I think it's really good that I didn't push, and I'm really pleased that I didn't. I really wanted to do work on reset program today, but I just didn't. I took a day off, and it was a really good decision, and I'm really glad that I did that. I needed to like listen to my voice today and just remember that I am doing my best, I think. And like, I can still do reset in a few days, okay. And if I was just pushing my way through this whole thing, that would also be very counterproductive. So I think it's okay. Good things I've noticed from the routine is feeling really ready for certain things at certain times. My body's just getting into the flow of it, which was quite good. So overall, feeling positive. So I wanted to share something positive that isn't related to my routine and what I'm doing right now with that. Something that I've been thinking about for a while and that I've noticed lately is just about self-worth and my kind of self-esteem and just my general relationship with myself. I struggled with like really low self-esteem and confidence and really low self-worth for quite a long time. But I've been working quite hard on it in the past couple of years, but I just got to a point where I knew in my mind that I was, you know, like, I deserved things, deserve love, deserve whatever, like everyone else, but I often like would really struggle to actually feel that. But since I've been doing these emotions exercises and meditations that like bring me into my body, I've just noticed that it's somehow really improved my self-worth. And I think for the first time I'm starting to feel, not all the time, but I'm starting to feel like I really do feel better about myself, like not just in my mind, like actually in my body. Like, I just feel different, and that's really nice. I think like this is the most that I've ever cared about myself, you know what I mean? Something I heard Alex say a lot was always like, whatever you're feeling is okay. And for me, whatever I was feeling was just like never okay. Working on that side of things, just being accepting of what I'm feeling, seems to have helped me be more accepting of myself as a whole, which I was just not, I had no idea that's what was going to happen. It's been a really nice surprise. I just care more about myself and it feels really nice. And I just want to share that because a lot of my vlogs have been about finding things hard and struggling and it being difficult, and so I didn't want to miss out this good thing. So the past couple of weeks have been quite hard. I feel like I'm struggling a lot at the moment. I've been feeling very, very down, just very low, and I'm not that up to just even doing the vlog. Today I'm feeling a little better, which is nice. I think basically through just having practiced with these emotions and inner child exercises for a while now, I think emotions really are just starting to come out and come to the surface, and I'm just feeling a lot of feelings and feel like I need to cry a lot of the time, and I think, and that's just what I'm doing as well. I'm just crying a lot and struggling with moods, and I think that might be what is contributing to how I feel physically, because I am feeling quite bad at the moment, which was not what I was expecting. With lockdown, I'm doing a little less than normal, and also with my new routine, I'm trying to be much more careful around pacing, and I don't think it's because my routine's not working. I think it's maybe just a bit of stress from the global pandemic that's happening and emotional stress is just impacting it. But having said all that, I do feel small differences in my body. There are times in the day where I notice that I'm feeling less wired, but overall I'm just going very slow. I'm trying to be kind to myself. I'm taking breaks from things and having like days off. Just going slow with it all. So this week, something that I've been doing is the Module 3 homework, which is raising self-awareness about what subtypes and like patterns I'm still acting out. And I realised that for me, got it written down here, the perfectionist pattern is like quite a big one for me. So it says, I tend to have high standards for myself and others. I feel like I'm always trying to get it right. I can feel like a bad person if I do not get things right. I mainly get my sense of self-worth through doing the right thing. And I ticked yes for every single one of them. And I'd not realised that. I'd been quite focused on achiever and helper patterns previously and working on those. But yeah, I can see now that perfectionist is really like a big one for me still. So it's kind of like, it's good to know, but it's also a bit stressful to know that, geez, I'm still acting a lot, so much of that out. What else? I wrote all the reasons why I want to get well, all my motivations, and I wrote a letter to myself, which is module one homework, which I can get out and read to try and like motivate me to be disciplined. And it did motivate me, but clearly not enough. Yeah, I don't know. I'm thinking maybe I need to make like a reward system or something. Like if I can stick to this for like a week in a row, then I get, there's some kind of reward at the end of it. I don't know. I'm gonna have to think on it and ask Alex.
Hi, Hannah.
Hiya.
How are you doing?
Okay. It's been like, it feels like a lot has happened since we last spoke, because it was about 6 weeks ago, wasn't it?
Yeah, quite a lot happened in the world as well. like a global apocalypse. So, just sort of talk me through what's been happening for you.
I think when we last chatted, I had like a lot of busyness, and that's gone now. And I've kind of stopped. I'm getting better at stopping doing things when I'm wired and just taking that time instead to be in my body more, which I feel like is helping. And the biggest thing I've noticed is that I feel like accepting like my feelings more has helped me just feel better about myself. It's kind of helping me accept myself more in that sense, which felt like quite a surprise that I didn't see that coming, basically. But that feels like a really good thing.
Can you say a bit more about that?
I just noticed that times where I might have previously felt quite down on myself, I feel less so now. I just feel more accepting instead.
That's great. That's great.
Yeah, I have noticed that I have like pockets, little moments of feeling much more grounded and in my body, kind of in a way that probably I didn't even feel before I got ill.
Okay, that's great.
I was trying to think of how to describe it. It feels like if you've been worrying about something for ages and then someone tells you something that means you just don't have to worry about it anymore and you kind of feel like tension is released, you feel relief. I just feel like a little bit of that.
Yeah, so there's less emotional intensity and emotional sort of heaviness that's hanging around day to day.
Yeah.
You mentioned in your email summary to me yesterday, you've been doing quite a lot of work on the inner critic. Tell me a bit more about that.
Oh, yeah. So I was watching module 3 of Reset and going through the subtypes, ticking what was going on for me. I realized that I totally not realized how much of the perfectionist pattern I've like been acting out. I was definitely like focusing on the other three and like just... I feel kind of stupid for not realizing because it's so like blaringly obvious now. But I can see that. I think I'm just one. I was wondering if that is having quite a big impact on my system and if that can also be related to migraines or like the emotional side of things can impact migraines in that way.
Well, yes. And I think one of the ways I would think about this is that in a sense, migraines are the sort of result of crossing a certain sort of, as I think I mentioned before, it's almost like there's a threshold point that when you get to that threshold, when you cross that, that's when you're probably triggering a migraine. And so my sense is that anything that ramps up the internal pressure is going to increase the likelihood of that happening. And the inner critic can be quite a big part of that. Particularly given your relationship with your dad and the sort of harshness of some of that, I'm guessing that's been part of the ingredients that have sort of formed that structure of your inner critic. Is that your sense?
Yeah, I can feel like the more like work we do on this, I can just see how like harsh I am to myself and how like, harsh I have been. And it just doesn't seem to take a lot for me to feel like a bad person, basically.
Yeah, and it's, you know, particularly when we have a sort of harsh and critical and unpredictable parental figure, that sort of becomes the ingredients of the structure of the inner critic. And the problem is that we get so normalized to it, like we're so used to that's how it is, that we sort of don't see the wood for the trees. One of the things often helpful with the inner critic is just getting more awareness, like seeing it more clearly. So I'm sort of curious as to what are some of the, what are some of the examples, some of the judgments or the attacks that you notice?
I guess, like at the moment, the main, like doing these film sessions and working through the reset is kind of bringing a lot of awareness to how I'm doing it. So like when the first episode came out, of mine, I just felt really like I felt like a bad person because I spoke about my dad in quite maybe a one-dimensional way on the internet, and like yeah, I felt bad about that, and I feel like a lot of like shame really lingers around things for a long time. It used to be things like after I saw my friends, if I maybe interrupted someone or when we were chatting or like, you know, very small things, I just feel like the worst person and then just things like, you know, more practical stuff like, oh, if I don't organize my thoughts in the right way, Alex isn't going to be able to help me because I won't be able to explain it properly. And these kind of just a lot of unnecessary stress and mental like busyness.
And can you also somewhat separate out the sort of statements of your inner critic from the judgmental and critical and harsh and cruel quality of it? So what I mean by that is it's almost like there's a sort of internal thought of, I want to articulate things the best I can to get the most help out of it. Or, you know, I talked about my dad in a vulnerable way on the internet, and that feels a bit delicate, and I'm wondering how I feel about that. So there's sort of questions or kind of thoughts that don't necessarily have to be in a critic. They're like reflecting and sort of seeing how you are and how you're feeling with something. And then there's that sort of judgmental piece, which is, and that means you're a terrible person and you're a bad person and you're a failure and you're not doing it right and you're not good enough. Like, can you see that sort of difference there, that how that those thought processes sort of get hijacked by that inner critic quality?
Yeah.
And I'm guessing that you wouldn't speak to anyone else, right? The way that you're talking to yourself with this.
Yeah. And like, I can see now, like much clearly now, going back, I would just not really allow much space for myself. I'd just be incredibly harsh. I think it stopped me like sharing things with other people and getting help from friends and support from friends and stuff.
Yeah, I think often what it can result in us doing is sort of pushing away the sort of love and support that's there, because we've already projected sort of onto those people all those judgments and criticisms that we have of ourselves. We're sort of assuming that's what everyone else is thinking. Therefore, we're projecting this completely unsupportive, unloving, uncaring view onto people that may actually feel quite differently.
Yeah, I definitely did that. Definitely. Yeah, I didn't share like a lot of things with anyone during like the worst part, like literally the worst time of my life. I didn't feel able to share. I just thought people would kind of recoil and away from me.
How has it been starting to see more of this over the last kind of few weeks? Like, as you've been going a bit deeper into the awareness around it, how has that been for you?
It's been a bit stressful. Seeing it so much and then trying not to panic about it, but overall, yeah, it feels good to know. I guess I just feel a little unsure of how much this is impacting my system and how to go about changing that.
My guess is I think it's definitely having an impact. You know, I think that it, because in a sense, one of the ways that I would think about it is that you were in a toxic environment with your dad for particularly at a certain acute period of time when you were first ill. And that had a clear impact in terms of triggering your nervous system and ramping up your nervous system. Now, obviously, the structure of your inner critic predated that. That would have been set up when you were much younger. And there would have also been dynamics in the environment then. But in a sense, although the environment you're in now is much more conducive and supportive to your recovery, your internal environment still has that quality, still has that critical, punitive, judgmental, harsh quality to it. So it's almost like the external environment has changed, and the internal environment still has elements of that external environment. And given we know the impact that originally had on your nervous system, I think it is still having impact. And so the more we can calm that, that's likely to be quite helpful in terms of calming your overall system. And if nothing else, even if it doesn't have an impact, which I think it will, it's just also allowing you to be more free to be yourself, rather than, you know, like you mentioned, not expressing or communicating how you feel towards people or asking for help and asking for support. One of the biggest impacts of the inner critic is it causes us to feel restricted. Like, we feel, because we're constantly on edge of worrying about being judged or being criticized or being attacked, we sort of squash ourselves down and we end up feeling smaller, and we don't take those sort of risks to sort of put ourselves out there. And there's a lot of, we miss out on a great deal of love and support and holding that's there just by the very nature of how we sort of hide away from it.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And I think sometimes I would, like, I'm definitely reaching out more now, but I will still get that feeling afterwards sometimes of, like, being ashamed of what things I've shared.
There are different ingredients to this, and I think part of this is the work you're already doing about your relationship with your emotions and allowing your emotions and feeling your emotions more. I think certainly this piece of the jigsaw that we're exploring today, I think to stay on this thread of the inner critic, that is also part of it. Because in a sense, it's not like taking now, for example, there's you and me having this dialogue. And then rarely are we experiencing the world as it is. We're experiencing the world with all of our projections onto the world. So there's, you know, there could be 10 different people right now that I could be having this conversation with, and each of them are going to hear 10 different things. And they're going to have 10 different projections onto what they think I might be thinking, for example.
Yeah.
And a big part of that is how we layer our inner critic onto other people. So the judgments that we have of ourselves, we sort of assume that those judgments other people have towards us. And it can be very, very vulnerable territory in a sense. And it's something particularly vulnerable that you're doing right now, because it isn't actually just you and I that are having a conversation. I mean, it is you and I having a conversation, and elements of this conversation then end up on the internet for for the world to potentially to look at. And it's hopefully it's been, and you mentioned at the start, it's been reassuring to see the comments that actually our greatest fear often in a situation like that is we're going to be rejected and judged and criticized. And I'm actually curious how it's for you been reading comments. So to contextualize it for people, your second episode went out yesterday. So how it is for you reading some of those comments of people saying, oh my God, she's so brave. This resonates with my experience. This is exactly how some of the kind of essence of some of those comments. I'm just kind of curious how that is in this context.
Like, it feels really good. Like, yeah, it definitely feels, it was nice to read them. I was feeling like nervous about it, but it definitely made me feel better. I think the problem is that I just feel like I have to be perfect. That's what it comes down to.
Yeah.
And like, it's ridiculous, but I don't, but I just, that's what's causing all this, I think.
So to go back to the inner critic and sort of working with the inner critic, if you remember in Reset, I talk about this RID model. So it's recognizing the fact that we're actually being attacked. And that's sort of, I think, part of what's been happening over the last few weeks, that there's just sort of wasn't even much awareness that it was happening. And then suddenly you sort of got a spotlight on it and you're starting to recognize and see that that's going on. The second stage is identifying the actual attacks. So we'll come back to that more in a second. There's then the defending against it, which is the different responses that we talk about in the program. And there's the disengaging. So actually, rather than getting caught in a kind of endless fight with the inner critic, it's actually to disengage and take some distance. In a sense, we could be going through those stages in a kind of the microcosm of a particular attack. So we recognize it, we identify, we defend, and we disengage. But in a sense, also, as we're working with the inner critic over time, you're also focusing a bit more on each of those stages over time. So I think right now you're particularly in that identify stage where you're sort of really starting to see, it's like you're really trying to mark the card of your inner critic and go, hang on, I see you. I see what you're doing. Mm-hmm. Because that alone often helps get some distance. So this is quite a vulnerable thing to ask of someone, but I'm curious as to what are some of the judgments like right now? Like, as we're having, and just go as far as you feel comfortable with. So I don't want to push you here at all, but I'm curious as to, like, as we're working together and we're exploring it, what are some of the judgments either that you have of you, or you're thinking that I might have of you, or you're thinking that others might have? Yeah. What are some of the actual inner critic attacks that are there?
I guess, I'm thinking about what my body's doing right now and how, like, sweaty and nervous I feel, and how if I'm like being able to take in what you're saying. I'm not too worried at the moment what other people are gonna think of this, and then yeah, just overly concerned with like expressing what I feel like I should, or trying to communicate properly.
So let's break it down into a sort of actual attacks. So right now, would it be your inner critic saying something like, because you're in a state of stress, you're not taking it in and you're not going to be able to understand it and you're not going to be able to, is it something like that?
Yeah.
And would it also be something like, you know, you won't ever be able to get free of this. You're always going to be stuck in this. And if you can't understand it, you won't be able to put it into action and it won't, is there some of that sort of as well?
Yeah, definitely. Like super like analytical, like trying to understand everything and like work it all out and fix it and,
Yeah, so there's a sort of flavor that you need to understand it all in your mind to then be able to put it into action. So you've got to get every detail, like the perfectionist pattern. You've got to perfectly articulate what's happening, understand everything that's going on. And if you don't get that right, it's not going to change.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Yeah, it sounds quite stressful. I can see why that has the impact it has, in a sense. Can you see where that comes from? Like if you were to sort of just track back for a moment in terms of sort of history and sort of life, where did you learn that you have to get everything perfectly right to be safe? You had to get everything figured out to be able to progress?
Throughout my illness, I know that I've always had that. I feel like I've always had that pattern. Like I used to think if I could just pace right, then I would, if only I could just do it the right way, then I'd be able to get well. But in the past, I think there's always been this, I've grown up with like a very strong sense of always doing the right thing. I'm like, there always is a right thing to do. And obviously there isn't always, and that's okay. But it's meant that I've always looked for the right thing. I think there has been quite a lot of criticism, and I felt like that I did feel a lot of criticism and harshness from my dad. And it's just instilled this thing of like, yeah, you have to always do the right thing, be perfect. It was sometimes like you could have had like the worst day or the most unlucky thing happen to you, but it's like there was always a lesson to be learned that you could, you know, you wouldn't let that happen again next time because you do something differently. There wasn't much like empathy about, well, actually that was just bad luck, like, or you just had a bad time, or it's very like do better kind of.
So there was a lot of pressure around getting things right versus getting them wrong, like doing it the right way. Like, so if you get it wrong or you don't mind the learning or whatever it might be, what does that mean?
It felt like shame. So it felt like, yeah, you're a bad person because, you know, you've got to do the morally right thing. Even if it was a very small thing, it was like quite a big.
So a sort of withdrawal of love and safety, in a sense, right? That you're sort of and love and safety are very much, in a sense, as children particularly, we need to be loved to feel safe. And if we don't feel safe, then we're in, you know, stress response and terror and anxiety and whatever else. So in a sense, you getting things right, you doing the right thing was necessary for you to feel loved and for you to feel safe.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And it sort of makes sense then now that you've got to get it right now, because if you don't, then you're not going to be safe and you're not going to be loved and you're going to be rejected and things aren't going to change and you're going to be stuck in this place. So there's like this disproportionate burden and pressure on having to get things right.
Yeah, that makes sense.
How does it feel to see that?
I guess it feels a bit of relief. Yeah, hopefully I can ease some of the pressure.
Yeah, I would really encourage, I think, for where you are right now, the thing that I think will be really helpful is to really work on identifying the attacks and the judgments from your inner critic. So you've sort of recognized overall there's a lot of judgment and attack and inner critic stuff going on. So this next stage is like trying to see it and really see that, like one of the ways you might do this is doing a sort of thought diary each evening or even write down the day. Like you want to get as without doing it from a perfectionist place, you want to get as good as you can at spotting these different judgments, these different attacks. And then you can also come to using some of the defenses and in the module on reset. But for now, also just building that awareness, because if you can see it, you don't have to be it. Like just that awareness alone will help you get some distance. And it can feel, at this point, it can often feel quite almost more intense because you're suddenly putting the spotlight on this thing that's sort of there and having this ongoing impact. But now suddenly you're seeing it with a level of clarity that you wouldn't have done before. So go gently with yourself in that process as well. And be careful of not having the inner critic hijack. You're working on the inner critic, if that makes sense. Yeah. That it's almost like you're working on seeing the judgmental structure. So the way you're trying to see the judgmental structure is by judging yourself. And yeah, you want to be mindful of not doing that.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. So, yeah. You know, also a certain amount of just gentleness and lightness and playfulness is also helpful in the process.
All right, I'll try that.
Yeah. And, you know, everyone does this. And the people that worry me the most are the ones that try to convince me that they don't do it. Because what it tells me is they're so identified with the inner critic that they can't even see it. It's like just getting some awareness that this is, I think it will be helpful in terms of your healing and recovery journey, but it's also a critical piece for just living a life that's happy and a life that, you know, doesn't mean you're under the kind of the power of that structure. The other thing that I always think is important to say as well is that this power and strength of your inner critic, that is your power and strength that's being used against you. So sometimes when we have quite vicious and quite harsh inner critics, we can sort of feel like, oh my God, it's got so much power. But you have to remember it's you. It's part of you that's turned against. It's your power. So the more that you defend, you're taking back that power and that strength.
Okay, that's a good way to look at it. Yeah, that makes me feel a bit better.
Yeah, so you're reclaiming your power in a sense.
Right, okay.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Go gently with yourself as always. Take rest, listen to your body, and, you know, bring in this piece on the inner critic. Really, it's important, go gently with it. So don't think, right, the faster I do this, the more I'm going to break free of it. That's the inner critic telling you to go fast. Just go gently with it. But yeah, then as feels appropriate, work on the defending as well. And we can also come more to that.
Okay, cool. Thank
you. Yes. Thanks, Hannah. Take care. Bye.
Yeah. Bye.
So I hope you enjoyed this week's episode. As always, I would love to hear your reflections, your thoughts, your questions. Particularly, I'm sort of curious to hear from you guys how it was to hear Hannah's experience of being kind of going through this process and reading your comments. I think it's a really interesting thing that we're doing, really. People being very vulnerable in this way and then sharing it, and there being some sort of real-time, not quite real-time, but sort of in-time sort of feedback that's happening. So please do comment, share your questions and thoughts below the video here on YouTube. And if you haven't already, please do subscribe to my YouTube channel, like the video, click the notification bell. It's all things that help tell YouTube that these are episodes, this is content worth sharing. And it also means that you're going to see new episodes as they are released. I'm having a break this week from the daily vlog because of the Trauma and Mind Body Super Conference. If you haven't already checked it out, please do so. And we had some technical issues on the first day yesterday, but they are now they're now resolved. And yeah, I'd love to have you as part of that. Next week on In Therapy, we're going to be catching up with Lauren. And we're going to be exploring some of her relationship to her body and emotions and how she avoids and distracts away from feeling those. So I think that's going to be a really interesting episode. I look forward to talking with you then. Thanks for watching.
When I'm feeling a bit better or a bit anxious, I need to keep my mind occupied. So I pick up my phone 500 million times a day.
You have a strong pattern of avoid and distract. So if you're feeling something that feels uncomfortable, you just put your attention elsewhere.
I think people think I'm stronger than I am. You know, I'll go through a breakup and cry once, but that doesn't mean I'm not hurting. I just tend to suppress it, I think, and keep busy.
Part of what we need to be doing is to be developing a different way of being with yourself emotionally. Part of that is as simple and as complex as allowing yourself to feel how you feel.